Diabetes. What is diabetes? Diabetes mellitus is a disease that causes sugar or glucose in the blood to stay at higher levels than normal. High blood sugar, called hyperglycemia, is harmful to the body and can cause many acute and chronic medical complications that can lead to disability and death. About 8% of the U.S. population, more than 28 million people, have this serious disease. Over time, having diabetes damages the blood vessels, which increases the risk for heart attacks and strokes, kidney failure, blindness, and foot ulcers that can lead to amputation. Diabetes has no cure, but it can be controlled with diet, medications, careful self-monitoring, and exercise. Good control of diabetes can prevent or reduce the serious complications of this illness. How does the body regulate blood sugar? The body breaks down nutrients into basic components, and one basic component is glucose, a type of sugar. All the cells in the body need glucose to work normally. Glucose comes mainly from food. When food is digested, glucose in the small intestine transfers into the blood and is carried through the body, where it is absorbed into cells. Inside the cells, glucose converts into the energy that cells need to function for people to live their daily lives. The body normally keeps the level of blood glucose within a certain range. To keep the level from getting too high after eating, the body will rapidly absorb the glucose into cells. This glucose absorption is regulated by a hormone called insulin. Insulin is made by the pancreas and released into the blood, where it helps cells rapidly take in and process blood sugar. Ultimately, insulin helps the body use glucose to create energy, but it also ensures that blood glucose levels do not stay too high, because high blood glucose is harmful to the body. If the pancreas does not make enough insulin, or if the body's cells are unable to respond to insulin, glucose will remain high in the blood after eating instead of getting into the cells. Both the high levels of glucose in the blood and the low levels of glucose inside the cells are problematic for people with diabetes. The body's system for maintaining a normal range of blood sugar is influenced by many factors: the timing of meals and snacks, the amount of food people eat, the types of food people eat, a person's body weight and amount of fat tissue, and a person's level of physical activity. Both excessive caloric intake and expanding fat tissue when people gain weight trigger a series of chemical reactions that end up making the body resistant or unresponsive to the insulin activity. This is called insulin resistance, which is the beginning of diabetes. Physical activity improves the body's response to insulin and uses more of the blood sugar for energy. Maintaining a healthy diet, a moderate weight, and regular physical exercise are all powerful ways to prevent the development of diabetes and to manage diabetes if a person has it. Medications, including synthetic insulin, are also effective strategies to treat diabetes. When blood sugar is high and insulin is low or absent, as in diabetes type 1, diabetic ketoacidosis can occur. In this situation, if cells are not able to obtain sugar from the blood for energy, they will break down the body's fat and muscle for this purpose, a process that releases toxic substances called ketones. Excessive production of ketones can be a life-threatening emergency and needs to be treated promptly with synthetic insulin in a hospital. When blood sugars are high but the body is still making insulin, as in diabetes type 2, the cells don't suffer as much, but the blood can get thick with sugar and salts and enter a hyperosmolar hyperglycemic non-ketotic syndrome, HHNS. In this dangerous condition, people feel very thirsty, drink, and urinate more than usual, have dark yellow urine, and become sluggish and confused. Without treatment, people can pass out and go into a coma. This life-threatening condition also requires prompt treatment in a hospital. What are the different types of diabetes mellitus? The name diabetes means to pass through, referring to excessive urination, one of the disease's symptoms, and mellitus means from honey, referring to sugar in the urine. Diabetes mellitus is also known as DM, or just diabetes. There are three types: diabetes type 1, diabetes type 2, and gestational diabetes. Diabetes type 1. With diabetes type 1, the pancreas stops producing insulin. Diabetes type 1 usually develops in childhood or early adulthood. Diabetes type 2. With diabetes type 2, the body does not respond properly to insulin, which is called insulin resistance. At first, the pancreas makes extra insulin to try to improve the body's ability to process blood glucose. But over time, it can't keep up or make enough insulin to keep the blood glucose at normal levels. Before people develop diabetes type 2, some will develop prediabetes or impaired fasting glucose, IFG, a reversible condition in which a person's blood sugar stays high, but not as high as in diabetes. Diabetes type 2 is associated with obesity, and it usually develops in adulthood. Recently, an increasing number of children have been diagnosed with obesity and diabetes type 2. About 90% of all diabetes mellitus cases are diabetes type 2. Gestational diabetes. During pregnancy, some women develop gestational diabetes, a form of diabetes type 2. Diabetes during pregnancy can hurt the developing baby. Women usually revert to normal blood sugar after pregnancy. However, they have an increased risk for developing diabetes type 2 later in life. Why is diabetes dangerous? Elevated blood sugar can make people very ill and sometimes cause death. Even if a person avoids those dangerous states, diabetes can be harmful in the long run. If glucose stays at higher than normal levels in the bloodstream over time, it may harm the blood vessels. Plaques of fat, calcium, and small blood clots, a condition known as atherosclerosis, are more likely to form on a blood vessel wall that is damaged from high blood sugar. As plaque builds up, the arteries narrow, making it more difficult for blood to flow through, increasing the risk for heart attack and stroke. When the small blood vessels serving the eyes and kidneys are affected, these organs also can be damaged. In addition to controlling the blood sugar, keeping blood pressure and cholesterol at low levels helps lower the risk of damage to blood vessels and the heart. Healthy diet and exercise, quitting smoking, and avoiding alcohol and other drugs can help people control their blood sugars and avoid these complications. What are common complications of diabetes? People with diabetes need regular exams to detect the common complications, including cardiovascular disease with heart attacks, strokes, loss of vision, slow healing wounds, and foot ulcers, kidney diseases, and pain or numbness due to neuropathy. Heart attacks and strokes. Heart attacks and strokes are due to atherosclerosis. People with diabetes are up to 5 times more likely to have heart attacks and strokes, and they have them at earlier ages and with more severe consequences. Visual loss due to cataracts, glaucoma, and retinopathy. People with diabetes are at an increased risk of developing cataracts, clouding or opacity of the lens of the eye, glaucoma, which is increased pressure in the eye that can damage the optic nerve, or retinopathy. With retinopathy, blood vessels near the light-sensing retina are damaged. To heal the retinopathy, people may need laser treatment, which is an effective way to preserve their vision. Foot ulcers. Poor blood flow in the legs and feet can lead to slow healing. Wounds that don't heal on the foot can become infected with bacteria, which is difficult to treat due to the poor blood flow. Some of these infections spread, eventually affecting the bone. When an infected foot ulcer is deep and severe, it may not be treatable with medications. A person may need to have part of the limb amputated to save his or her life. Kidney disease. When the small blood vessels in the kidneys close off, the kidneys are less able to function and can eventually fail to function entirely. The kidneys remove toxins from the blood. If they no longer work, kidney failure occurs, and people will either die or need to be connected to a dialysis machine every other day or so to remove toxins from the blood. This procedure is called hemodialysis. Keeping tight control over diabetes, blood pressure, and cholesterol, and taking a medication called an ACE inhibitor can help prevent or improve kidney disease in diabetes. Neuropathy. Diabetes can damage the small blood vessels that feed the nerve endings in the feet and hands. When the nerves are damaged due to poor blood flow, people may develop permanent numbness and tingling. This can be very painful, especially at night. People with foot numbness may have poor balance and be more likely to fall. Numbness in the feet also leads to people injuring their feet without being aware of the injury. Minor injuries can lead to foot ulcers and infections that can lead to loss of limbs in people with diabetes. Major injuries, such as painful fractures, can lead to bones healing the wrong way, foot deformities, and trouble walking. Regular foot care is very important for people with diabetes. Why do people develop diabetes? Diabetes develops in people exposed to a variety of environmental factors when they likely also have a genetic vulnerability. Diabetes type 1 is due to an autoimmune process in which the body mistakenly thinks that the pancreatic beta cells that produce insulin are foreign bodies and destroys them. People who are overweight and/or inactive are more likely to develop diabetes type 2, especially if they have inherited specific types of genes. Nearly 90% of people with diabetes type 2 have it in their families. Diseases of the pancreas, including pancreatitis, cystic fibrosis, and hemochromatosis, may lead to destruction of pancreatic cells, which in turn can lead to diabetes in people with these conditions. Certain medications may be associated with a higher risk of diabetes, certain anti-infective drugs, antipsychotics, beta blockers, lipid-lowering drugs, thiazide diuretics, glucocorticoids, oral contraceptives, and others. How does diabetes interact with mental health disorders and substance use disorders? People with alcohol use disorder may develop a chronic inflammation of their pancreas called chronic pancreatitis, which can lead to diabetes. People with depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia have higher rates of diabetes than people without mental health conditions. This comorbidity may be bidirectional, but is not yet fully understood. For example, people with depression are more likely to develop diabetes type 2, and people with diabetes are more likely to develop depression. It appears that there may be shared genetics between schizophrenia and diabetes type 2, as more young people than expected who develop schizophrenia also have diabetes. Additionally, these mental health disorders are also associated with overweight and obesity that can in turn lead to diabetes. Many medications used to treat mental health disorders, such as depressive disorders, bipolar disorders, or schizophrenia, contribute to weight gain and thereby increase the risk for diabetes. Some antipsychotics may also directly increase the risk of diabetes, even in the absence of weight gain. Often people with mental health or substance use disorders, or both, have difficulty managing diabetes. Symptoms such as disorganization, depression, and lack of motivation may impede the daily monitoring of blood glucose level, diet, exercise activities, and use of medications needed to address this illness. Further, people with psychotic disorders have decreased pain sensitivity, which can impede the monitoring of injuries to prevent infections. In addition, smoking and drinking alcohol can have direct toxic effects on the body that can cause diabetes. Alcohol contains sugar and will disrupt a person's blood sugars, with additional highs and lows. Smoking magnifies the risk of heart attacks and strokes in people with diabetes. When people who have mental health and substance use disorders have diabetes, all those conditions need to be treated at the same time in a coordinated, integrated fashion. As expected, these disorders influence each other, and people will need more treatment and support for each of them. Although clearly one's diabetes gets worse when the mental health condition worsens, treating the mental health condition is not enough to get the diabetes under better control. Care teams must develop assertive approaches to help people with co-occurring disorders manage their diabetes. Substance use and mental health treatment centers need to systematically screen people for diabetes and promptly refer those with abnormal blood sugar for care. They will need to facilitate and coordinate treatment with the medical providers, as well as take an active role in supporting people's diabetes self-management. How is diabetes screened and diagnosed? Healthcare providers should routinely ask patients about symptoms of diabetes. Diabetes type 2 typically develops gradually, so people may not be aware of symptoms, which may be increased hunger despite eating, weight loss, feeling thirsty, increased drinking and urinating, fatigue, blurry vision, cuts or bruises that are slow to heal, and tingling, pain, or numbness in the hands or feet. Glycated hemoglobin, also called hemoglobin A1C, is a non-fasting laboratory test that indicates the average blood sugar level during the past 2 to 3 months. Used to diagnose and monitor diabetes, it may be the easiest screening test for mental health and addiction treatment programs to implement. Additionally, blood glucose can be tested either in a fasting state, 8 hours or more after the person's last meal, or randomly, or after ingesting a glucose-containing beverage. Lab values for these screening tests can determine whether a person makes autoantibodies against his or own pancreas and therefore has diabetes type 1. Adults with risk factors for developing diabetes should be screened at least every 3 years. At-risk groups include people who are over age 45, overweight, pre-diabetic, sedentary, African, Latino, American Indian, Asian, or Pacific Islander, people who are taking certain medications that increase the risk for diabetes, people who have hypertension, dyslipidemia, or cardiovascular disease, people who have gestational diabetes in the past, and those who have a first-degree relative with diabetes. Everyone initiating treatment for mental health or substance use disorders should be screened for diabetes. In addition, people who take a second generation antipsychotic should be screened before starting, after 12 weeks, and if normal, yearly. If fasting blood work cannot be obtained, a non-fasting hemoglobin A1C can be checked. If these screening tests are abnormal, people should meet with a primary care provider who can confirm the diagnosis and initiate treatment. How is diabetes treated and managed? Although advances in diagnosis, treatment, and management of diabetes have improved prospects for those who have it, diabetes is a chronic disease that requires daily management. Treating and managing diabetes involves education, lifestyle changes, monitoring, and medications. Diabetes management also includes strategies to check for and address possible diabetes complications, managing stress, maintaining mental health, and addiction recovery, and quitting smoking. Education, diet, and exercise. A person's blood sugar is highly dependent on the type and the amount of food he or she has eaten each day, and on the level of his or her physical activity. The first and very important step in managing diabetes is for people to learn about the illness and how diet and exercise affects their blood sugar every day. By adopting a healthy diet and exercise routine, some people with diabetes type 2 are able to avoid or minimize medications. Most communities have diabetes educators who can help people learn about the illness and management strategies. Monitoring. People with diabetes learn how to monitor their blood sugars multiple times each day with a device that pricks the finger. People with diabetes can learn about the positive effects of diet, exercise, and medications on their blood sugar levels, and they can adjust their management based on this feedback. Medications. The most severe side effect of diabetes medications is low blood sugar. Low blood sugar produces brain dysfunction and can be dangerous. People with low blood sugar can get shaky, sweaty, irritable, hungry, confused, have a seizure, or even die. Prompt ingestion of sugar pills or orange juice will treat this problem immediately. People with diabetes type 2 can usually control their blood sugars by using oral medications. All people with diabetes type 1 and some people with diabetes type 2 will need insulin, a medication that is available as an injection. What self-management steps can people take to control their diabetes? As with most chronic illnesses, management of diabetes relies very much on the patient's efforts. Good self-management will make the difference between well-controlled and poorly controlled diabetes, regardless of the type of medical treatment used. Diet, exercise, blood sugar monitoring, medication adherence, health monitoring, alcohol and drug recovery, and quitting smoking are important for controlling blood sugar and preventing complications. People need to take diabetes medications and practice good self-management, even if they feel good. Often diabetes doesn't have symptoms unless complications have developed. Diet. The American Diabetes Association's Create Your Plate program has helpful tips for people with diabetes, including these. Limit foods that are high in sugar. Eat smaller portions spread out through the day. Be careful about when and how many carbohydrates are eaten. Choose foods with fiber, whole grain cereals, breads, crackers, rice, or pasta. Choose healthy foods such as fruits and vegetables with non-fat dressings, fish, lean meats, chicken or turkey, dry peas or beans, whole grains, low-fat or skim milk, and cheese. Keep fish and lean meat and poultry portions small, 3 ounces or the size of a deck of cards. Cook food by baking, broiling, or grilling rather than frying in fat. Minimize fat and salt. Physical activity. Current recommendations from the ADA include 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity, spread over at least 3 days with no more than 2 consecutive days without exercise. Regular daily exercise that increases the heart rate and breathing is most helpful to people with diabetes. Brisk walking is a great way to stay physically active, but people can choose any form of physical activity that works with their lifestyle and schedule, including tennis, basketball, jogging, dancing, and weightlifting. Some housekeeping and gardening activities can provide as much physical activity as some forms of dedicated exercise. Setting a routine, exercising with a friend, or attending a class may help people to maintain a regular exercise routine. Maintaining a healthy weight. People with diabetes can achieve and stay at a healthy weight by using a healthy meal plan to reduce caloric intake and by becoming or staying physically active. Losing only 5% of body weight has been shown to produce significant improvements in diabetes control and cardiovascular outcomes. Attaining ideal body weight provides maximum benefits for diabetes control. Monitoring blood sugar. People with diabetes check their own blood sugar by pricking their finger with a special lancet called a finger stick. They obtain a drop of blood that is instantly analyzed by a handheld machine called a glucometer. The machine will show the current level of blood sugar. Coping with low blood sugar. People need to be aware of the signs and symptoms of low blood sugar. Symptoms can be highly individual, but can include sweating, hunger, nausea, irritability, and anxiety, usually when the blood sugar is below 70 milligrams. Inability to focus, behavior and personality changes, and confusion, usually when the blood sugar is below 40 milligrams. A seizure, coma, or death when the blood sugar gets below 20 milligrams. People can check their blood sugar with a finger stick to confirm low blood sugar. They need to be prepared to rapidly raise their blood sugar by eating or drinking an easily absorbed substance with sugar in it, such as orange juice. Doctors recommend that people with diabetes carry something sweet with them at all times, such as candies or glucose tablets, to use in an emergency to raise their glucose blood levels. Preventing diabetes complications. These ABCs of diabetes provide a handy reference to healthy levels for managing the disease. A. A1C measurements to maintain healthy blood sugar levels, under 7% or under 8% depending on the person. B. Blood pressure levels under 130 over 90. And C. Cholesterol levels with LDL under 100. To lower the ABCs, people need to take medications as prescribed, limit salt, be active, lose weight, avoid alcohol, and eat a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol, but rich in fruits, vegetables, and low-fat dairy products. Maintaining mental health and sobriety from alcohol and other drugs. Diabetes self-management also includes paying attention to one's mental health and asking for help if feeling down or anxious, having symptoms of a mental health disorder, or craving alcohol or other drugs. Active mental health disorder symptoms can make it hard for people to maintain their diabetes management routine. Because alcohol can increase blood sugar and blood pressure, people with diabetes should avoid it. Even more important, people with diabetes should stay clean from drugs because the direct toxic effects of drugs and the lifestyle that comes with active addiction are not conducive to good self-management of diabetes. When people use alcohol and other drugs, they may have difficulty taking their medication and applying all of the self-management strategies that are needed to control the illness. People will be able to live longer and avoid diabetes complications if they attain and sustain recovery from mental health and substance use disorders. managing stress. Stress can raise blood sugar, so it is important for people to learn to identify their own unique sources of stress and to develop some coping strategies. People use various methods to deal with stress, including getting social support, planning ahead, taking step-by-step approaches to tasks, having reasonable expectations, and using positive self-talk. People can also learn how to use relaxed breathing, listen to relaxing music, and take part in enjoyable hobbies frequently. Counseling may be helpful for people who continue to have difficulty with stress despite using some of these approaches. Quitting smoking. The toxins in smoke are one of the most common causes of adult onset diabetes. These toxins also directly damage blood vessels. Because the toxins in smoke can harm the same parts of the body harmed by diabetes, experts strongly recommend that people with diabetes quit smoking to avoid the possibility of developing these serious complications. After quitting, the inflammation and insulin resistance caused by smoking is rapidly reduced. Both counseling and medication dramatically improve smokers' ability to change their smoking habits, or ideally, to quit. Smoking cessation medications are safe and effective in people with diabetes. Nicotine replacement therapy can maintain nicotine dependence as people change their smoking habit, but it is not addictive on its own. Nicotine replacement therapy does not cause or worsen diabetes or mental illness symptoms. It can be used safely for at least a year. Avoiding, monitoring, and addressing wounds and infections. With diabetes, blood flow may be hindered by damage to the small blood vessels. If blood can't flow well, healing is impeded. People with diabetes need to take special care to avoid getting injuries and should check their feet every day for cuts, blisters, red spots, and swelling. People with diabetes need to maintain good teeth and mouth hygiene with gentle brushing and flossing each day. Minor injuries can lead to deep, serious infections that do not heal well in people with diabetes and may require amputation. People should go to the doctors for care when wounds occur. Foot care. When people have neuropathy, they need to use additional strategies to protect their feet. They should wear closed-toe shoes to protect the toes, even at home, use natural fiber socks that are changed daily, and check water temperature before stepping into a hot bath to avoid inadvertently burning their feet. People with diabetes also need to keep their feet clean and dry, file their nails, and avoid cutting their cuticles to prevent injuries. People with diabetes should inspect their feet daily and go to their doctor immediately if they notice cuts, blisters, red spots, and swelling.